are back with the Uncommon Cast, and we are so happy to connect with everyone and really kind of go a different approach this morning with a totally different topic. We are going to talk about an eccentric and passionate and driven man of the past who created something in southern San Diego County.
Imperial County,
called Salvation Mountain. So we are excited for this episode, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, so we are here today with Dan Westfall, and Dan and us are connected. It's kind of like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Like, we have so many connections with Dan, and I know Cody and Ryan have both met him before, but I can't believe we know so many people in common, and this is the first time Dan and I are meeting today. So, Dan, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Salvation Mountain?
Well, I got involved with Salvation Mountain on basically a Jeep trip out in the desert. And we were killing some time, and my friends said, well, let's just go check out Salvation Mountain. And I had heard about him like 10 years before. Mm-hmm. And all I heard was some guy is painting a mountain out here and has a Jesus all over it and a cross at the top. And frankly, I just kind of wrote it off. Oh, some religious nut out in the desert.
Desert nut.
You know, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, so you got to go see it.
But I never did until my buddy said, hey, let's go check it out. And I said, okay, fine. And we drove up to the place, and I got out of my Jeep, and I went, holy cow. Somebody did this? You know, this is so unbelievably improbable, almost impossible to when you see it, the scale. Is just breathtaking. I mean, you just go, wow, this thing's 50 feet high, not counting the cross, and it's a couple hundred feet wide, and he built a giant straw bale, what he calls his museum, you know, that you can walk through. It's almost hard to take in. And you can't believe that one guy did this. And so you just right away, and he was right there as soon as he saw I had a video camera. He greeted everybody.
And he is a man named Leonard Knight.
Leonard Knight,
which,
yeah.
When you first went there, how old was Leonard Knight?
Leonard Knight, we were there Thanksgiving of 08. So he was had just turned 78.
And how long
77.
How long had he been there at that point?
He'd been there since 84.
Okay.
He got there in 84. He was trying to set up his hot air balloon, which he was trying to be kind of a barnstormer with his hot air balloon, although it never was meant to fly. That's a myth. It was just supposed to be a 200-foot high inflated billboard, basically.
And what was on that billboard that he wanted?
His message to the world that the sinner's prayer, which is Jesus, come upon my body and into my heart.
Hmm.
That was his message to the world. Because that's basically what he created his epiphany, and that and other things, slogans, other things on that. But it was just supposed to attract attention, and people were going to come and ask him, what the heck is that?
Right.
Why is there a hot air balloon in the middle of the desert?
Right. Yeah. Or anywhere. You know, he tried it all over the place, and they ran him out of quartzite in Arizona. And
I didn't know that.
And he was working in a truck stop. He was working, you know, just did part-time work so he could fix his truck and go somewhere else. So he made it. They said, "Oh, go to the slabs, Leonard. That's over in by the Salton Sea." And they don't care what you do there.
There's no rules.
There's no rules. Go. They don't care there. Just go ahead. So that's how he ended up there. And his truck broke down there. And that's okay, here I am. And so he set up, tried to inflate his balloon. It never really, he tried for 15 years to get that thing. The guy was persistent. And he tried. Every time he got it up, it would split out and fall apart. And he'd have to re-sew it and try again.
Wow.
And he said, let me tell you, he says, that wasn't easy because you had to get up at 3 a.m. and start laying this thing out. And then get his homemade hot air blower, to fill it. And every time he got it about 2/3 full, it would split and collapse. Or the wind would come up and just kill the whole day. And so it was fun. it was fun. He.
So at what point did he decide, okay, the balloon isn't working?
Right about then. It split out on him for the last time, and he said, well, God, I guess you don't want a balloon. I give up. I'm not going to try this balloon anymore. Can't do it. So I'm going to go over to this little hillside, and there's a natural ridge there. And I'm just going to paint a balloon on this ridge and then go back to Vermont. And he started painting on it. And locals, some of them homeless living in this labs and people in the front of town, saw what he was doing and started bringing him some paint material, some old paint or something like that. Just said, people do that in that area. And so he said, I kept working on it. He says, so it took God about 6 months to get me enthused about this. So he said, by then, he says, you know, I just kept working on it.
Wow.
And he worked on it about 5 years, and the whole thing collapsed. And
oh, my gosh.
Because he was building stuff out of...
He's not a construction guy.
Right, so right.
He was building out of whatever he could get his hands on. Mm-hmm. Old cement from the dump, you know, and he would water it down with too much sand and everything, because he didn't ever have anything to work with. He never had any resources at all. And just, he would go to the dump and get stuff, you know, and his bicycle and come back, because his truck never ran. So he was just zero resources, just nothing but pure passion.
Passion. And I know one of his central things, seeing, I actually haven't been to Salvation Mountain yet, but I've seen the film. And by the way, listeners, we're going to link you to an awesome documentary of Leonard Knight and Salvation Mountain and everything that Dan is an advocate for. And love is everywhere in that place, from hearts to all the verses that you can imagine about love, about God, love in everyone. And anyways, it's just so interesting that he was so driven to share this love with...
He had... what most of us who've been raised in the church have been told about and probably fantasize about, he lived it, because he had a very, very personal experience that changed his whole life. He was nothing but a drifter until then. I mean, and he says he wasn't doing anything, you know, God was interested in. And so he just had no use for God whatsoever. But and in 67, he was staying with his sister in Lemon Grove, and she tried to get him to go to church. And he stormed out of the place and jumped in his truck and drove off. And then he said, for reasons unknown to him, he pulled over and stopped, and he just started repeating the sinner's prayer. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come upon my body and into my heart. And he says, I kept, and this is in, he's actually in the film, as you see this, him relating this. He said, I kept saying it. And he told me, he said, I kept saying it until I really meant it. And he says, and it's quite a while. No idea, but quite a while. I just kept repeating it until I meant it. And then I kept repeating it until I felt it happen. And he felt just such a warmth of love, just wash over him, just completely, every cell in his body was embraced, and he never lost that feeling. And the rest of his life, he wanted to share that experience with everybody in the world. That was it. That was his whole focus.
What I find so curious is, I think anyone, most typical, the majority of people would have that experience with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
That realization. And the first thing that anyone would do would be to go back to that church that they stormed out of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But not Leonard. It wasn't go to seminary. It wasn't go back to the church.
No, in fact, he tried. His family was involved in Pentecostal church. And he tried to get their support for what he was doing, and they weren't really interested in what he was doing.
Interesting.
No, because what verse in the Bible says, go to the middle of nowhere and make a balloon that shares God's love, right? Well, or paint a mountain.
He did that out of just you know, lack of resources and desperation.
Hmm.
Now, he ended up there because he ended up there. And he said, okay, well, I guess I'll do it here. And he just never stopped working. Now, even when he failed at the balloon for 15 years,
right.
He never stopped wanting to do it.
Well, what's interesting, what stands out to me from his story is two things. One, persistence.
Mm.
You know, most of us, if we try at something for a few years and it doesn't seem to be working, we're like, well, maybe this isn't what God wanted all along. I must have gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
But he kept working at it. And then when that initial plan didn't work, he just kind of tweaked it a little bit. So his persistence and then his creativity in his ability to send this message that he felt compelled to share with nothing, you know? So oftentimes we look at ourselves and we think, in order for me to be effective, in order to be used by God, in order to share a message, I have to reach some level. We each of us makes a different kind of threshold in our own mind. For some of it, I have to know X number of things about the Bible, or I need to be able to, you know, I need to have this amount of resources to do what I need to do. And he just kept working towards his goal of telling people about God's love in the most impossible circumstances with nothing. And essentially, he created something out of nothing.
Very much so. It's in a category. One of the categories it fits into is found art.
Yeah, totally.
Where you take something and repurpose it into an art project.
Which in and of itself is its own story about how God works in this world,
mm-hmm.
right? To take something that is been cast off,
discarded.
Something that's discarded or broken or isn't serving a purpose, and to incorporate it into this larger picture of God's love. Like that is what, that's the story of God at work in this world. And Leonard told that story through the creation of Salvation Mountain.
Well, you mentioned that most of us need to feel worthy before we can express this type of thing. Leonard didn't completely bypassed that phase because he knew God loved him.
Hmm.
Oh,
he also knew that he didn't deserve it. And that, but he didn't need to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total gift.
Hmm.
And so he often said, God loves everybody he ever created. Period. End of sentence.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, stop judging each other. You're just wasting your time.
Hmm.
And that was his message. And so he was humble. He never, because he said, I'm a dumb farm kid from Vermont. Dropped out of the 10th grade. And he really was never considered himself a minister, never considered himself any type of leader, nothing like that. He was just working to let everybody know that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. So what I love is kind of your story in this. So from a Jeep trip with friends that brought you to a random place to see some eccentric guy in the desert. That was your first encounter.
That was my first encounter. We were there a day or half a day, whatever.
But later you came back because you, Dan Westfall, are not only the advocate now for Salvation Mountain, you weren't then, but you are a holistic body massage therapist.
Right.
And you have a heart of compassion and care to take care of others. And you ended up going out there to take care of Leonard Knight. How did that happen?
Sort of. I went out there. I was intrigued when I met him that this guy was, you know, I went away thinking, you know, this is the purest ministry I've ever seen.
Hmm.
This is not a crystal cathedral, okay?
Right.
And he's the happiest man I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I'm going, there's something here that I don't know about.
So can I ask you at that point, where were you at in your faith? What had your faith journey been like?
Well, my journey, I was raised a Lutheran, born and raised in Alpine. Mm-hmm. My parents actually built the Alpine Lutheran Church. It's still there.
No,
I mean literally built it from an old machine shop. My dad converted it, and it's still there. So I was raised in the church, big time.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, later in life, I fell away from the church. Not mm-hmm. not God, but the church.
Sure.
Because I got disenchanted with the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so the politics got in my way. I saw too much of the back,
behind the scenes,
right?
The
scenes, yeah.
Stuff, and I'm going, yeah. And so I haven't been that overly religious since.
Mm-hmm.
I have my beliefs. I share them with people that are interested. I don't impose them on people who are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm at.
Awesome. So that is that where you were when you met Leonard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been that all my life, really.
So sorry, that was an interjection. So carry on.
Yes. So you saw for the first time this pure
expression.
Yeah. That's where. Okay. This guy is no politics. he's avoided politics all his life because he's just been iconoclastic, just him and God. That was it, and Jesus, of course. But he was he deliberately didn't get entangled with any of that. He called that the fleshy world. and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. It was a distraction from his mission. And so he just devoted himself entirely to that. But anyway, when I was there, he handed out some DVDs. I gave you guys one. It was made in 2006 by a videographer. It was his first documentary. He was 16 years old when he made this.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. And it was in 06, I believe, he filmed it. And he provided them to Leonard to give to visitors.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me one. I went home and watched it, and I got really intrigued. I'm going, this is really a story here. So that following January, I went out, January of 09, I went out to spend the day with him. Jump on my motorcycle, rode out there. And
just go hang with Leonard Knight.
Just to hang with Leonard Knight, see what this guy really about. And so I got to spend the day with him. And people would come and go, and he would give tours. And then I had a chance to hang around with him and talk with him and stuff like that. And so that was really intriguing because I got to see quite a bit of just how real this guy was. He was just pure Leonard. So that really intrigued me. But I didn't really get involved until I came back the following June with a friend. And this was summer now. It was getting really hot out there.
Yeah.
And he's living in a truck, and
a broken down truck.
Well, it was an old fire truck that somebody bought on auction and stripped it down to get the water pumps off of it and gave the truck and the frame to Leonard. Here, Leonard, you can take it. And Leonard built a little cabin on the back of it, and that was his home. but it was just a mattress on the floor then.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I come back in June. My friend and I were there for a while and for the day, and it was already hot. And I saw Leonard go over to it, a cooler, just an ice chest under the truck, and I saw him go over there and fish something out and nibble on it. As the day went on, and in between tours, he'd go over and nibble something. And one of his tours later in the day, I got curious, and I went over and I opened the ice chest, and the ice had melted. There were various pieces of food and fruit floating in the ice water, in various stages of decay and covered with ants. And I just couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, oh, my God. This guy deserves better than this. This is just, the caregiver in me said, no, I can't go home and forget this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try because I don't know what I think I can do to help him. And I live 150 miles away, and I have a mortgage and a wife and a business. I don't know what the heck I can do, but I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the most irrational thing I've ever done in my life. I just told my wife, you know, I got to go do this. I took about 2.5 weeks off and jumped in the motorhome, went out there, and darn near died in the heat for 2.5 weeks.
Because it gets like 120 degrees out there.
It does, yeah. It's not uncommon.
That's horrible.
So I just went out there to try to keep him alive as long as I could be there. And so I spent 2.5 weeks with him, and that's when we really connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to keep him. I was chasing. Yeah, I couldn't keep him from giving tours. People showed up. Boom. He was right there and giving a tour. And so I was basically spent 2.5 weeks chasing him with his hat and a bottle of ice water. He never thought about it himself at all. So
I love that your heart was so driven to take care of the stranger. And you couldn't not do something about it.
That was what I went home thinking. You know, I'm never going to be able to forget what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the heck I can do, but I can't do nothing.
Hmm.
So how has meeting Leonard and seeing his story unfold, watching his journey, how has that impacted your faith journey?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's been quite a journey for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. He passed away in 2014. And, but we were, you know, I would go out there after I stayed there that 2.5 weeks. I went out about every other weekend with supplies and spent the weekend with him. And a lot of what I came to call mountain magic, came into play. Managed to somehow, people showed up to help. That's a long story. I mean, this is a long story. We're going to think about it about a week. But the experiences I went through were pretty amazing. For a massage therapist in San Diego to get involved in something like this was really off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had life experiences that I never anticipated. You know, trauma, political intrigue, legal stuff. I mean, my gosh, I'm going, what the hell am I doing? You know? So it just got, just evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to deal with it because I wanted to help him. That simple. And then when it came to the point, well, Kevin was a guy who showed up and stayed there for 24/7. He came in his motorhome. He was a social worker from New Mexico on a month-long vacation. And he came in, and he saw what was going on. He saw me coming and going. And he decided to stay and help Leonard.
Wow.
He actually took a hiatus, and then he ended up quitting his job and just staying. With him. And he was Leonard's caregiver 24/7. And I would come and go, you know, and bring supplies and try to keep them from, they were oil and water.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Kevin was an atheist. And so,
interesting.
That is interesting.
So,
wow.
I mean, you know, yeah, and he was a character. But
what kind of impact did Leonard have on Kevin's faith over that time of Kevin taking care of him?
Good question. I honestly can't give you a perfect answer to that. I know it influenced him. I know he believed that Leonard believed.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That was undeniable. Okay. And like I've said before, that anybody driving up to that mountain gets out of their car and goes, this guy loved God. Mm-hmm. Okay. This guy was, this is an expression of devotion that is a testament that is just
undeniable.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
And so Kevin knew that. Kevin was a complex character, so I don't know, you know, exactly what was going on in his head or heart. But he loved Leonard, and he respected what Leonard was doing, and he helped him. I mean, a lot. You know, I mean, he was his caregiver and his dotage out there. So.
I love the message in that because I think sometimes, for those of us and those listeners that carry faith in a God that loves us and loves the world, mm-hmm. oftentimes you won't be able to experience someone flipping their faith to believe as you do, but the place that you play in their life is you're the one that believes so much that they know you believe.
That's
and
true.
We mm-hmm. carry our faith and we believe for others in a sense. We just talked about that this last week.
Well, that's your testament. That's your testifying.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes our faith is carried for others mm-hmm. and they watch that and see that. And that's so powerful. Now we're at the end and we want to wrap up. What are you doing now? We want to get people to be intrigued about Salvation mm-hmm. Mountain, learn about it and get out there. So tell us about what is happening now out there.
When it became clear that Leonard couldn't stay there any longer, we sat down, Kevin and I sat down with him and said, well, Leonard, what do you want us to do with the mountain when you can't be here? Do you want us to try to keep it here? Do you want us to just let the desert have it? And the desert's full of those places. And so, and he thought about it for a while and he said, well, he says, as long as you can keep it from becoming a church or a business, I'd like you to keep it here and let it do my talking for me.
Wow.
That's interesting.
And he didn't want somebody to take it over. And so we said, okay, well, we're going to need to have a nonprofit corporation to do that. That'll outlive us all. Okay. And we will work as best we can. We can't promise to keep it here. The desert is a harsh environment. And so we formed the Salvation Mountain Incorporated, 501c3 tax deductible corporation. And we live on donations. Mostly we have a little donation box at the mountain there, and that's what we live on. But we've attracted some remarkable people, caretaker that lives there at the mountain. He's been there for 3 years now.
Wow.
He too was a, like Leonard, just a drifter. And he came in to live in the slabs, and we basically invited him to come help us with the mountain, and he's been there ever since. And he's actually pretty well known now because there's been a lot. Everybody takes their own video out there and posts sure. it on
right.
YouTube.
Music videos, movies.
Well, we've had a lot of things, and that's one of the things we're most happy about was that Leonard wanted his message spread. And even by the end of his life there, he was attracting about 100,000 people a year.
That's incredible.
There was rarely that I was out there, I didn't meet people from at least 2 or 3 continents.
Wow.
That all got the same message.
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, you bet.
So that's to say, it's not like he's just on the way to Las Vegas. Like, they went there to see Salvation Mountain.
You've got to go out of your way to see Salvation
right.
Mountain.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Right.
It's not, you know, you're not going to, it's not a stop by, you know, oh, what's that, and drive over and look
right,
at
right, exactly.
No, you've got to want to go there. But people do.
I know.
But we had just a couple summers ago, the biggest thing we had as far as exposure was a Chinese company, a TV reality show in China called China's Top Model.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect place to go to the desert and painted rocks.
Well,
they did a photo shoot out there, huh?
There was their third season. They made it into a travelogue. So they would go to different places in the world and take their wannabe models, yep. you know, and do their thing for the TV show. And they called us and said, we want to shoot 2 episodes in the United States this season. One is Times Square in New York and the other is Salvation Mountain.
Wow.
And that's what we did. We laughed like, really?
Okay. Odd choices.
And so we asked them about, because it's only broadcast in China, although it's also on YouTube somewhat. But we asked them we didn't really know about their show that much. And they said, well, last season we averaged a viewership of 350 million.
Okay.
Okay, that's some exposure. Okay. And between that and place people like Coldplay mm-hmm. Did a video that got like 100 you know, just millions and millions of views, and a few other musicians, and Martha Stewart did her wedding dress episode or catalog out there. There are different things like that, mm-hmm. different exposure. We conservatively estimate that since Leonard passed in 2014, at least a half a billion people have been exposed to his message.
That's incredible.
Worldwide.
And that message, again, in a nutshell.
Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come upon my body and into my heart. That's actually written in a heart on the face of the mountain.
Right. This I know. It's encompassed
That's
in
the centerpiece.
This love of everyone. God loves everyone.
God so loves everyone.
Into my heart.
God loves everyone the same.
Yes.
And you have to learn to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's the hard part. Yeah, that's the hard part for most of us. We learn to judge everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard never felt it was his place to judge the children of God. And he didn't consider himself a distant relative of God. God created each and every one of us. You are a direct descendant of God. In fact, your next breath is dependent on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his relationship with Jesus.
That's amazing.
Well, and it's got you now preaching on a podcast to mm-hmm. so many listeners, which you would have never imagined
You're
back
right.
then on that first Jeep trip either.
No. In fact, it's intimidating right now.
Right? And here's the thing. So to over a half a billion, he didn't want it to become a church, but that mm-hmm. getting the gospel message, the good news that God loves you, created you, mm-hmm. gave life for you and wants to be in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that to a half billion people rivals any church that I know of, church, institutional
yeah.
church, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't want it to become a church.
No, he didn't want anybody to own it. It belonged to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know, though, is that church being a community of faith is a place where we gather to hear that one message mm-hmm. that he wanted to share with everyone, and so he painted it on rocks. So I hope that some of our listeners are intrigued. We need to organize an Uncommon Good trip out to Salvation
Seriously.
Mountain and go maybe help take care of the caretaker that's out there too, and just love on them, see what this place is like.
It's worth the trip. It's a day trip from here. It's a national treasure in our backyard.
Crazy.
It literally is a national treasure. And here's a little piece of mountain magic. In 2001, it was read into the Congressional Record as a national treasure.
Wow.
By Barbara Boxer. Now, if you remember, you know Barbara Boxer mm-hmm. was a big proponent of ACLU and secular, you know, separation of church and state. And she declared this a national, this is on state land, by the way. Leonard was a squatter. We still don't own the land.
He just claimed it.
He just squatted, you know, just like everybody else out there. It's just, and so that's part of the improbability of it all. You go, what the heck? And so it's just hard to believe that he did that. But then it's still there. That's even more unbelievable.
Yeah.
But was a big proponent of taking church crosses down. Well, here's on state land, you know, and anything. So here she's, you know, this is a gigantic monument with a 26-foot cross on the top of it, and she's declaring it a national treasure.
That's incredible.
That, God is smiling the whole time.
Seriously.
There
here's
you go.
A message of love. I'll get anyone to buy into it.
There you go.
Well, so. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this incredible story and Leonard's journey and your journey alongside him. And we just hope that somebody's sparked to realize that you need nothing. You simply need mm-hmm. to want to share the message that God loves everybody the same. And God can use that.
Yep.
God Hugely. Can use that.
Thank you so much. Such a joy
it's
to
privilege.
Have you here.
It's a privilege. Thanks so much for inviting me.
And And thanks for being an amazing heart that's so driven to take care of others that you drop everything. I think your story is so fascinating. It's so amazing and says so much of who you are, Dan. And we'll have a link to what you're doing now. We know that you're planning on a shift from San Diego to Arizona, but we know that you're close and Salvation Mountain is equidistant in between us. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Thank you.
Hey friends, it's Cody. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I actually wasn't present for the whole thing. I had to set up and run. But I thought you guys would enjoy listening to the team try to turn off the equipment in my absence. I know I sure enjoyed it. So here it is.
Can I hit the record button?
Let me, hold on. I just asked for the right way so
you don't erase it. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah, don't erase it.
All right. I'm reading Cody's message, and he's hearing this. The power switch is on the left side, and it says hold. See it? That's good. Okay. This is just critical, because it would be horrible to turn this off and lose everything.
That would be horrible.
Hold for a few seconds, and it'll turn off.